Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the Tighten Up Podcast on the A to Z Sports Podcast Network.
I'm Jack Gentry alongside Austin Huff. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Jack A. Gentry. He's at Austin Huff. We are the Tighten Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tighten Up Pod. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Tighten Up Podcast. And as always, make sure you're following A to Z Sports on every social media platform.
This is Sode number 211. The Rand Carthon adds another Michelin star to his resume of Sodes. Look, let Rand cook.
That's two Michelin stars now we're working with. I mean, this LeJarius Sneed deal. We're going to talk about this. I'm very excited about this deal.
This is a very, very exciting Sode. And, that Sode title comes via Eldon English at Shrike 113, last year's Tupper of the Year. Again, Tupper of the Year still up for grabs, so make sure you hit us with Sode titles. Make sure you are going above and beyond the other Tuppers to win that award, as it is now up for grabs. It was claimed in May of last year, but this year won't be announced until probably December-ish. So make sure you are grabbing that Tupper of the Year. Look, no guests this week. Still kind of coming down from the high of the Mike Keith episode last week. If you haven't caught that, go back and listen to it. It's well worth the time. But Jack and I are going to try and rush through this Sode, and I'll explain why here in a little bit. So without further ado, let's get to a word from our friends from BetMGM.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code A to Z Sports and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call Tennessee Redline at 800-889-9789.
And with that said, let's talk Titan.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in prison.
What is up, Flameheads? Welcome to the Tighten Up Podcast. Today is March 27th, 2024, and Jack and I are going to try and speed through this Sode. Never in the history of the Sode have we ever had a Sode that was 40 minutes or less. Or basically fit into the session of one Zoom meeting, but we're going to try and do so today. So we are enacting rules for this Sode. Look, it's the off season. We have to try new things. And plus, like, we're not going to keep you around. Look, you've got things to do in the off season. This is the time to get stuff done because football season is so bogged down with nothing but football. So this is your chance to get stuff done. So Jack and I are going to try and give you all of the intel, all of the information, all of the talk and hot takes in under 40 minutes. So, Jack, I'm going to set a timer for our first topic. In fact, I'm going to set a timer for each topic. And once that timer is done, we are done. We have to move on to the next topic, a la PTI or something like that. So, are you ready for this?
Well, who's Wilbon and who's Kornheiser in this? I don't want to be Wilbon.
Okay, I'll be Wilbon. Wilbon's great.
I like Tony Kornheiser.
Oh, okay. Why? Because you want to take a Monday Night Football gig and get canned from it about a year in?
No, and you know what? I don't want to get suspended for calling one of my telling one of my coworkers she looks like a sausage case in a dress either. So yeah. I'm not going to be that version of Tony Kornheiser. I just don't want to be the Wilbon that we see now where time is clearly passing by.
Yeah. It's just weird, Jack, that we Wilbon and Kornheiser are opted up and you took the problematic of the two right away. That was record time. And speaking of time, we should start our time. 12 minutes on the clock. Let's start talking. L'Jarius Sneed is a Tennessee freaking Titan, y'all. What the hell? This is incredible day to be a Titan. Jack, you know, if anyone follows us online at Austin Huff or Jack A. Gentry on Twitter or the podcast at Titan Up Pod, you probably saw that Jack and I are, for lack of a better term, Jack stacked for this trade. I was at a Dan and Shay concert when the news broke on a Friday night. I'm sure we were all out doing something social or being busy, and the Titans are busy, not out at parties, not, you know, dilly-dallying around. They're trading for some of the best corners in the game like they did, and they got one over on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, you know, I actually was in Memphis this weekend watching some of the March Madness games up there. And Friday night, we were there, it was in full swing. And I actually stuck around until Sunday, got a taste of that Houston A&M game, which was so much fun. But the most fun I had all weekend was reacting to this L'Jarius Sneed trade. Because, you know, this talks had gone on for a while, and it always felt like the Titans were in the mix. And it felt like they were kind of ahead of the pack. You heard the Colts were involved. You heard a couple other teams were poking around and trying to figure out if it makes sense for them. Well, you know, those talks heated up like last week, and then you started to hear some of the stuff that made it stall out for a little bit. Like L'Jarius Sneed wants to be the highest paid corner in the NFL. It might take $22 million per year to get him to sign him after you figure out trade compensation. And on that side of things, it was, you know, there was a small percentage of people that were like, L'Jarius Sneed might cost him one. And then everyone else was like, well, if he doesn't cost a one, he's definitely going to cost a two. And right. Turns out, like, he didn't even cost a three, really. He cost next year's three, which a lot of people, and I don't necessarily understand this math, are calling that a four. I guess it's, you know, it's not a sexy, you know, pick to acquire for the Chiefs because you got to wait a year to kind of come
and
cash
that in. Well,
that's what
they say. It's, if you have to wait a year for the draft pick, it's always one draft slot lower than what how you have to wait.
So I don't necessarily know if I agree or not with that, but if it makes Rand Carthon and this deal look any better than it already does, I'm all in for that math. But, you know, Rand Carthon, like the Kansas City Chiefs have been doing this type of stuff to other teams
for
the last decade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Rand Carthon pulled a fast one on them, not only to get the trade to go through, but then when you find out the contract details which have emerged, L'Jarius Sneed, 4 years, $76.4 million, 55 mil guaranteed. He got his bag, $20 million signing bonus too. It's a lot of it up front, but it's just $19.1 million per year. And that right now slots him as the sixth highest paid cornerback in the NFL behind guys like Jair Alexander, Denzel Ward, who the Browns are always overpaying guys. Marshawn Lattimore, Marlon Humphrey, Trayvon Diggs. So, and then Sneed fits in at six. And then just a little bit lower than that, you have Awuzie at 14. So the Titans have two of the top 14 highest-paid cornerbacks in the NFL. It's a position they're going all in on. And with the way that the secondary has kind of performed over the last few years, it makes a whole lot of sense that they want to fix this problem, nip it in the bud now, and start forcing turnovers on the defensive side of the football.
Well, if you look at teams that have made the AFC Championship and NFC Championship, for that matter, over the last 10, 15 years, almost every single one of the teams has a top 10, a lot of times top five defense against the pass. Rush defenses, it doesn't really matter. The Chiefs kind of proved that last year
Titans,
for as good as their defense was, but their rush defense was pretty bad.
The Titans have always had a great rush defense, and it hasn't really, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. The rush defense and the defense in general has kept the Titans in games that they did not belong in the last 2 years. But having the best run defense in the NFL is not necessarily as important as having an above average run defense with an elite pass defense, right?
Well, it makes sense because, I mean, like, the top teams don't run the football, which is kind of like why you're seeing the Titans move on from Derrick Henry. Like, like the top teams in the sport are always passing. So if you can combat that, you're going to go deep in not just make the playoffs, but go deep into the playoffs. And now you've got a guy in L'Jarius Sneed. And on the other side, Roger McCreary, who don't sleep on him.
Well, in the slot, McCreary's going to be in the slot, and then Owuzier's on the other side.
Well, right. But Roger McCreary and L'Jarius Sneed, two guys who had played over 400 snaps last year and did not allow a touchdown.
Wow.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. And then obviously Owuzier, as Jack mentioned, a pretty solid get. And this is a huge haul by Rand Carthon, who just continues to impress everyone except for Jared Stillman. But I feel like the Titans are like, they really did pull one over on the world champs, because I went to school at the University of Missouri. Okay. If you're listening to this podcast, that you're not shy to that fact. I got many texts from my friends who are Chiefs fans, which I have a lot of, which is one of the reasons why I kind of hate the Chiefs so much, because they're obnoxious and pretentious about their football fandom. Which, don't get me wrong, I would be the same way if my team won three Super Bowls.
No, I would be insufferable, Austin.
Oh, I would be, yeah. Look, that's probably one of the reasons why the Titans haven't won a Super Bowl, is because of how insufferable I would be. Like, the good Lord is just keeping that away.
He knows better than to give me that.
Yeah, he's like, look, I did not create my children. I did not create this earth for you to tarnish it with your Titans fandom, Austin, which is why I'm not allowing the Titans to win a Super Bowl. So you can blame me for the Titans not winning a Super Bowl.
Or you can blame God.
No, you can't blame God, because trust me, he never blamed God. Trust me. But all my Chiefs fans friends were like, man, you guys got one over on us. Like, and for them to admit that, like, that tells me, like, oh, damn. Like, they don't feel good about losing L'Jarius Sneed. And obviously, I don't see why you would, but to give him away for next to that, and I want to tell myself, oh, it's because they didn't want to pay the price tag. They didn't want to, you know, they've got a lot of money tied up in Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and, you know, the rest of their team, Chris Jones now. But
McDuffie's coming up, and you're going to have to pay him eventually.
Yeah, but then I like realized, oh, he could have played this year on the franchise tag. So they didn't necessarily need to do this in a way, and it's not to the extreme. I'm not comparing it apples to apples, but it does feel, in a way, it gives hints. It gives a light aroma of an A.J. Brown trade, where the team did not necessarily need to get rid of him right now. But they chose to for some reason, and they did not get a good return for it. And it feels good to be on this side of the well for a little bit. And now, since Rand Carthon has come to bat, we've had two trades that he has. Well, I'm not going to say win, because the L'Jarius Sneed is still out. You know, it's still to be determined. But we feel really good about the two trades that Rand Carthon has made over the last 6 months. Kevin Byard out. L'Jarius Sneed in. Rand Carthon is looking pretty good.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And, you know, there is something about this deal. But let's get into this, because I think the Titans are poised to have the best trio of cornerbacks that they've ever had since the team moved here. And really talented cornerbacks, Austin. There's been some really talented duos, really. Like, when you think about it, like Samari Roll, Denard Walker, and Hackman and Cortland Finnegan, and then Finnegan and McCourty. Like, there's been a lot of guys. But when it comes to the best trios the Titans have had, I'm going to rattle a few trios off, and I want you to tell me whether or not the Titans currently have a better or worse trio.
Ooh, I love this game. Okay.
All right, how about this? We'll go from early to recent. So starting way back in the day, Samari Roll, everyone's favorite corner, Denard Walker, and Donald Mitchell. What do you think? I think this trio is better.
Yeah, I want to say yes. It's hard because, like, the results are the results. And we know what those three accomplished in their time with the Titans. And this is just on paper right now. But talent-wise, you've got, I would say, amidst the rest of the NFL, the trio you've got right now is better just because they are higher ranked within the rest of the corners in the NFL.
Like, like the guys that the Titans have right now are most like Legarius Sneed is stamped. I mean, he has championship pedigree as a CB1. Awuzie, CB1 on a Super Bowl run. Like, these dudes have been there and done some things that these other Titans haven't, which, you know, doesn't necessarily make them better because they were on better teams, but that is something that is a feather that they have in their cap. All right, moving on.
2 minute warning.
Pac-Man Jones, Cortland Finnegan, and Vincent Fuller.
I love that one just because
Pac-Man wasn't here long enough to really get into his prime.
No, you know? He wasn't. It was a flash in the pan, or he came in and it was like a, you know, like a bullet train, if you will.
Okay, there it is. All right, and then, not for me, but for the victim, maybe. All right, Cortland Finnegan stuck around for a while. Jason McCourty and Alteron Verner. I think that this trio right here, Finnegan, McCourty, Verner. I think that gives this current one the best run. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just because, and even though those teams, if I'm not mistaken, those teams were not good.
No, not
that
good.
But those players were really good. When Alteron Verner went to the Bucks, I remember I was working at the game radio station with Zach Bingham. And Zach, big Bucks fan, I was like, I hate that we lost the Alteron Verner, and he was like, I love that you guys lost Alteron Verner because he went to the Bucks. That was a really good core, but I think they get forgotten because of those teams being so bad.
Yeah, people forget Alteron Verner was an All-Pro in 2013. Second team All-Pro, Pro Bowler, Alteron Verner out of UCLA. Okay, finally, the last one.
30 seconds.
I think this one was just a little too, I don't know, let me go ahead and read it off. Logan Ryan. You had Adoree Jackson in the slot. Or I guess like these guys kind of all switched around. Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler. Just, I don't think that holds weight with the
Yeah, and they were not as strong. The rest of the defense around them
they were
was
slower.
Really good.
Like Legarius Sneed and Roger McCreary.
Oh, time. We got to move on.
Hold on. Let me get this last thought in.
Okay, Kornheiser.
Because, I mean, Chidobe Awuzie runs, he was a track athlete in high school, right? He was a second and a half off from qualifying for the Olympics in the 200 meter. Like, this group right now has speed. That's something that the Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler trio was lacking the entire time. But they had an all-pro safety on the back end to kind of help him out over the top in Kevin Byard. And that's kind of been a trend with some of the best cornerback trios the Titans have had. Like, Michael Griffin was in his prime and picking balls off left and right over the top. Chris Hope had a couple good seasons in Tennessee. Like, there's been some really good safeties, Lance Schulters, that have made plays over the top and have kind of helped the cornerbacks really turn into, you know, one of the most feared units, you know, on the back end in the NFL. And I believe that's what the Titans are planning on being, one of the most feared secondaries in the NFL.
Speed, something that we are lacking today, but it's all right because the Titans win total has been set according to BetMGM. And look, we love our friends at BetMGM. We don't always necessarily agree with the lines that they set, but we love them. And one of the lines that they set for the Titans win total, Jack, you say it because it just angers me just to say it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really early, and like there's tall buildings and bright lights in Vegas for a reason, yada, yada, yada. Give Vegas its props. They're smarter than me. But here, they've released some win totals, every win total for this 2024 season. And the Tennessee Titans are one of the lowest teams in the entire NFL at just 5.5 wins.
5.5, you guys.
5.5 wins. And it's not the worst thing because there was a team in the AFC South this time of year last year with 5.5 wins also projected. That was the Houston Texans. They ended up winning 10 games. And, you know, looking around the division, I don't know who the Colts have on the inside, Austin. I don't know what the deal. They have not made a move that has impressed me this entire offseason. They've mostly just re-signed some of their old guys on a team that was lucky to win 9 games last year.
Yeah, but they did win 9 games.
They did win 9 games.
With a backup quarterback.
Their total's 8.5. The Jaguars total, also 8.5.
Yeah.
Texans total, 9.5. But when you look into the odds in the AFC South, it's normally a pretty competitive division. The worst team isn't, there isn't a huge gap usually between the worst team and the best team. Well, at least as the team that finished last year, I like to think that. But the Texans are plus 135 to win the division. The Titans all the way at plus 800, a distant fourth behind the Jaguars at plus 200 and the Colts at plus 300. Plus 800? This roster is better than 5.5 and plus 800.
I agree. We also have to keep in mind, though, we are in it day in and day out. We know this team like the back of our hand, and we follow this team better than anyone. However, it is hard to go up against Vegas because there's a reason that town is built on bright lights and tall towers and giant-ass casinos. It is the house tends to win. Okay, the house always wins. And they know what they're doing. And it, as much as it irks me to say that, they know what they're doing. The Titans win total last year was what, 7.5? And the under obviously hit. Now look,
last
in back-to-back
year, the Titans,
years.
Yeah, 7.5. And
in back-to-back years, the BetMGM has said a team in the AFC South will finish with 5.5 wins. And last year that team went on to win the division. I like to think history will repeat itself. However, I do think I want to say that the Titans, obviously I think the Titans are going to go 17-0, and Jack and I will give our full predictions when the schedule releases, mm-hmm. but
still working through a couple things.
I'm hesitant to think that, the Titans are making the playoffs next year. Just because I want to taper my expectations. I want to be pleasantly surprised by the Titans, as I want the rest of the National Football League media to be as well. Nobody's going to be talking about the Titans. So if you're expecting to get good odds from BetMGM, if you're expecting to get good reception for this offseason, you're not going to get it. I saw some offseason grades already. Titans, I've seen anywhere from C+ to B-. You're not going to get high praise, despite Titans signing Tony Pollard, trading for L'Jarius Sneed, making the moves that the Titans have made. They're not going to get the love. Why? Mainly because it's the Titans, and the Titans just don't move the needle, and so nobody really focuses on. For as much as national media loves to focus on the Cowboys, they like to not focus as much on the team in Nashville, Tennessee, which is
great point.
Completely fair.
The Cowboys don't have to make the national media talk about them. They do that anyways. But this L'Jarius Sneed trade has now forced the national media to bring up the Titans in conversation.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think Titans fans would be smart if we all kind of taper our expectations a little bit. We don't know what we're getting into. Keep in mind, last year was an absolute dumpster fire. And we've got a new head coach coming in, and we're asking him, hey, not only can you put out that dumpster fire, but can you also build up a beautiful mansion in its place? That's a tall order. That's a tall task. And, obviously you saw it last year with DeNico Ryans with the Texans, but the Texans only made the playoffs because the Jaguars collapsed. Much like how the Jaguars only made the playoffs in Doug Peterson's first year after the Titans collapsed. So a lot of things have to play in your favor. And I don't know. I feel like Titans fans would be smart to just be like, look, I feel good about where we're at because I think we're going to see better football than we saw last year. Mm-hmm. With that said, we also need to kind of take it all with a grain of salt, and
I think we will.
Maybe next year is a 7-win team. Last year was 7.5 and they won 6 games. This year, maybe it's 5.5 and they win more than that. But to think that the Titans are going to win 10 games automatically next year,
No one's doing that, though.
A lot of things have to fall into place.
I think everybody understands that there's still a lot that the fans don't even know about this team. We don't know how Callahan's teams are going to look. And to your point, we do hope that he goes full David Tepper and moves into a house, tears it down, and builds a bigger top of it, right? But I just think that there's too many questions right now about Will Levis, about what the offensive line will look like, to expect to win a division, to expect to make the playoffs. Like, I think that we can expect for the Titans to contend for a playoff spot, kind of like we had, kind of like our expectations with the Preds heading into this Predator season. Now, they've went off and totally blown the doors off and simply can't lose a game anymore. But in the NFL, it's a little bit different. And with a younger quarterback, there's some growing pains there. With a new system, there's some growing pains there. With a new defensive coordinator and almost, you know, entirely new personnel, there's going to be growing pains everywhere. And I don't think that anybody expects the Titans to go out and win 10 games, win the division. But I do think that there's a reasonable expectation that Titans fans should have that this team should be competitive in all 17. This team should find a way to be competitive enough to be in the wild card hunt in the last 2 weeks of the season. Like, this roster is capable of doing that. I don't want to sell any of these guys short. And you mentioned Pollard, and, you know, everybody knows Sneed's now here, Awuzie, Lloyd Cushenberry, monster signing at center. You've got Kenneth Murray on defense. There's still some holes. You still need to find a safety. You still need to find a green dot linebacker. You still need to find a right tackle and a left tackle. But you've got 8 draft picks. Now, 3 of those are in the 7th round. But you can move some of those things around, get up in the higher rounds, and start really filling some of those holes with quality young dudes that are cheap. And then you can maybe bring in some veteran talent as well as depth pieces. But I think it's ridiculous to expect the Titans to do anything less than compete every single week this season. And that's why I think that this win total is an absolute joke. If Titans fans, you know, want to, right now is the time to get in on this. The Titans, 5.5, but it is -130, so it could get up to 6. You want to get it at 5.5 before that 6th round number, because then you need 7 to cash that. Obviously, you guys know math. But I think it's disrespectful. And I think the Titans are once again being overlooked. But that's not, I'm not going to complain about it, because I'm going to profit off it.
Yeah, sure. And look, I've got a hot take, Jack. I feel like, you know, I mentioned Titans fans, I think, need to temper their expectations. But I also think, as Titans fans, we need to be hyping up the Texans. And I know this is ironic. I know this is ironic coming from literally a podcast that has a segment called Laughing at the Texans. But it's time we face the facts, Jack. All right. The Texans are going to be so good this year. All right. Obviously, they're coming off of a division win with 2 rookie of the years on their roster, and they're only loading up more with the oil money that they came upon this offseason. I don't know where they got all this cash, but they keep spending and they keep signing everyone available, including 2 guys who were dominant for the Titans last year in Denico Autry.
Back too. Rick Garfield said they tried to get these guys back.
And Azeez Al-Shaair. But so we got to face facts. The Texans are going to be so good. Okay. So if you're a Titans fan and a Texans fan starts chirping you, maybe maybe concede and just say, you know what? Y'all are going to be so good this year. Okay. Or maybe like I think y'all might make a run at the Chiefs this year. Or I don't know, something like, remember when the Patriots went 18-1? Y'all might go 20-0 this year. All right? Just do it. All right? Hype them up and don't stop hyping them up. Now, you might be thinking, Austin, how can you say this? All right? Why would we praise a division rival? Why would we hype up the Houston Texans? Because nothing ever lives up to the hype. Okay? Nothing lives up to the hype. The Titanic, Y2K, since we are in an election year and I want to keep it politically ambiguous, any president's promises to do stuff. What about Elon Musk's version of Twitter? What about Elon Musk's Hyperloop? What about Elon Musk's tunnel underneath Los Angeles? The finale of Seinfeld, Darius Miles, Nintendo's Virtual Boy, 3D movies, 3D televisions, curved televisions, Hands Across America, Star Wars Episode 1, Star Wars Episode 2. Guess what? Star Wars Episode 3. Google Glass. Isaiah Wilson. Mayweather versus Pacquiao. Tidal streaming music player. December 21st, 2012, the day the Mayan calendar ran out. Google Plus. Fyre Festival. John Robinson. Geraldo Rivera opening up Al Capone's vault. Quibi. Hoverboards. Raiding Area 51. Mini CDs. And Zoolander 2. Jack, nothing lives up to the hype. So the more we hype up the Houston Texans, the more they will be added to that list.
Great. Great spiel. There was one omission, one glaring omission. You left out Trevor Lawrence.
Well done. No, and there's the time. There's the buzzer. We got to move on to our next topic.
Let me go Kornheiser for 1 second here.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
You're not adhering to the rules, Jack.
Kornheiser plays by his own set of rules. And listen, I just wonder if we're falling into the same trap we did last, or the national media did last season, when the Jacksonville Jaguars were prematurely crowned the AFC South champions of the future. Right? The Houston Texans had a great season last year, and they went on a hell of a run. They've got a good head coach. They've got plenty of talent. They've been willing to spend this offseason. But I just wonder if it's a little too early to be handing them the crown. I understand that they deserve to be the favorites. But I just think that there's a whole lot more about the Texans that we're going to figure out. CJ Stroud's got film out there.
Jack,
I know we want to hype them up, but I'm not going to be the first ones to crown these guys. They got to earn
it again. Much like I set out rules at the beginning of this podcast, you're not listening to the rule that I just set out in my last take. We are hyping up the Texans, okay? I don't care if you actually think they're going to win. That's not the point of this exercise. The point of this exercise is to say, "Oh no, Texans are going to be so good next year. Are you kidding me, bro? They're going to revolutionize the sport with CJ Stroud. There's not a chance anything bad happens to CJ Stroud next year. The Texans are going to dominate. There's no way that they blow a 24-point lead in the divisional round of the playoffs to some team called the Chiefs. Okay, it's not going to happen. They have too much
talent.
Won't
happen again.
It won't happen, all right? Jack, I'm saying we're hyping up the Texans, whether we believe in it or not. I know as Titans fans, we don't believe it, okay? But we're hyping them up. We're playing into that national they're going to get all the national attention. I saw on Good Morning Football today, they were raving about the Texans. They said the Texans could be a contender to win the entire AFC.
So funny.
Go in.
It's so funny. Those fans
did not
show up.
Like the Titanic, the first item on my list. Like the Titanic, just take the coal and shovel it into the furnace, okay? And let's start fueling it. Let's start fueling that engine.
It's just funny how, like, you know, they put one good season together. And those fans, by the way, didn't show up to games for, like, the last 3 years. Like, since Deshaun Watson left, those fans
they were bad.
Essentially boycotting those football games because of how bad their team was. And the second they sniff success, oh, it's the Texans. The Texans are the future. But the Titans won the division back-to-back seasons, and they never got this
title. Look. Fourth largest market in the country. Okay, that plays into it as much as you're going to get that. The Nashville is the 23rd largest market.
Fourth largest market, but like, what percentage of that market is homeless people that don't even watch TV?
Okay, all right. Look, they're right on the coast there. Hurricanes ravish that city hard when they do. The only teams that are outsiders to that rule of market size. Teams with traditional and historic backgrounds that win Super Bowls. Green Bay Packers, Seattle Seahawks, teams like that where they're outside of that realm, but they've had success winning games. Titans haven't been in the Super Bowl since 34. It's just the nature of the beast. And as much as I hate that my team not getting talked about, it's fine. But I said this in my take on Cork Pats, in my reaction video to the Legarius Sneed take. I love it when the Titans play spoiler and everyone turns their head midway through the season. No one projects them, talks about them leading into the season. But then once the season starts playing, people are like, oh, damn, this Tennessee Titans team is good. That's the only thing I think the best case scenario for this season. Jack, we've got 3 minutes and 40 seconds left in the entire show. We got to talk about this freaking, first of all, the hip drop ban and the kickoff change. Football's going to look hella different next year just based off of the kickoff alone. That's going to be weird. But I do like the rule change just because I loved it in the XFL. And I think you're going to see more kickoff returns. You had kickoff returns for touchdowns in the XFL. I was the guy that watched XFL football. And you got that. St. Louis Battlehawks was the first team to ever return a kickoff for a touchdown.
Shout out Jordan Te'amu.
Shout him out, you know. AJ McCarron now. So I actually do like that rule. The hip drop ban, I hate that rule. I tweet out a joke from Quirk Bats about how the last play of the Super Bowl 34 would have been called a penalty on the hip drop ban. And it was obviously a joke, but a lot of people were in the mentions of like, technically, this would not be a hip drop ban.
He didn't land on his leg, Austin.
Yeah, that's besides the point. Like, even if I know it probably wouldn't be, but that's what you're going to get with this rule. You're going to get referees calling plays that aren't hip drop bans or whatever they're called, or hip drop tackles. Plays that are hip drop tackles won't be called. Like, there's going to be so much ambiguity with the rule that it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be a headache and a pain. And the thing that pisses me off the most is the NFL continues to change rules and never for the defense. It's always to help the offense. The defense is the middle child of the NFL, where special teams is the oldest, respected, and often forgotten about. The baby of the family is the offense, gets all the love and attention and praise and support, and the middle child, and the offense gets away with everything, and the middle child is the damn defense. It's frustrating, Jack.
Yeah, you know, the hip drop rule, like, it's what cost Tannehill his ankle a season ago. And it's
yes,
what
but,
cost
but that
Tony
happens.
Pollard
injuries
some
are
games.
Part of the sport.
I get it. I'm with you. I think it's a dumb rule, but I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of injuries that do happen on it. We all know that, but I do think it's getting a bit much to ban the hip drop. And I think the NFL just wants to create every single loophole possible and hurdle for the defense to jump over in order to have the best four quarterbacks playing on conference championship weekend every single year. Like, teams with really good offenses are already so hard to stop, but now you add a BS rule that you could really flag just, you know, at your convenience, and, you know, say the Chiefs get stopped on 3rd and 8. Well, wait a second, hip drop, 15 more. Mahomes got a new set of downs. He's going to cook. It makes things so much harder on teams that are better on the defensive side of the ball than they are on the offensive side of the ball.
Every tackle in the sport from now on is going to be the sack, quote-unquote, unsack of Vince Young in the New York Giants game at the end of that game. We all remember the play I'm talking about. All right, follow the podcast at Tighten Up Pod on Twitter, at Tighten Up Podcast on Instagram. Follow A to Z Sports on all the socials. Follow me at Austin Huff on Twitter. Follow Jack at Jack A. Gentry. Send us your show titles. Let us know what you want next show to be called. Jack, you got anything for the road?
Nothing for the road.
I think we did it. 40 minutes or less. Tighten up. And until next week. Tighten up.
Tighten up.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They're the Tennessee Titans. They'll keep on fighting all the way.